spoke to last week. Today they're putting up the tree. Ah, I never heard of a trap before. Gridlock. What a perfect day. I was on the way down with the man and I want to go see the tree. So after you let me off, I said.
Last week but, we
if the tree is on, you know that today is the perfect time to start with this kind of stuff. So, let's go. Avodah Zarah. Woof. One of the cardinal sins. We even have a cardinal here. So, let's go. Avodah Zarah. Woof. One of the cardinal sins. We even have a cardinal here. The question is, what is Avodah Zarah? How does it impact on us? How does it impact on the non-Jewish world? What's the scoop? The Shulchan Aruch has the Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. We're beginning right now, Siman Kuf Lamed Tes. Yeah, we've covered everything. We skipped a lot of things. We've covered everything. And officially, Hilchos Avodah Zarah goes all the way until Siman Kuf Nun Tes. So we have, that means 20 Simonim. Pull it all off today, maybe.
We're on our way to
Shiva. See, we can. Shulchan Aruch begins by telling us that an idol, Elil, the first word is Elil, and what is Elil? An idol is Asur v'Hanah. You may not have a Hanah from an idol. Similarly, items that are used to serve the idol or to beautify the idol, they're called tashmisha or noya, are also prohibited. And of course, tikroves, that which is brought to sacrifice before the idol. All these things are prohibited. So the idol itself, that which is used to serve it, that which is used to beautify it, and that was used as a sacrifice to it. He gives examples. You have candles that you light in front of the idol. Before you spread fancy clothing or vessels near it. Or if you offer wine or meat or flour or salt, water. Now, let's get it straight. There are not too many idols that are being worshipped here in America. I don't mean rock idols, sports idols. I mean idols in the old sense of the word. But there are religions in this country that are like the Avodah Zarah. Let's begin by talking about Christianity. The most prevalent religion in the United States of America. Is Christianity Avodah Zarah or not? The almost universally accepted truth is that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Although they don't necessarily believe in a physical idol that you can point to and say, well, this is God, as the primitive pagans believed in years gone by. Nonetheless, the Christians believe that Jesus has divine powers. And this is called Avodah Zarah. The Rambam writes so. You won't find it in your Rambam. It was censored out. Apart to learn Avodah Zarah, they sent everything out. Our good friends. The Rambam and Hilchos Malachim in the, I think it's the 10th or 11th parak, right? The whole big thing about Christianity. It's pretty favorable. They get a pretty good press in the Rambam. Well, because he said there's a false Messiah, they took the whole thing out. I have it in my house. It's a new edition called the Rambam La'am. That's not new anymore. It came out 50 years ago, I don't know when. By Moshe Rav Kook, Rambam La'am, that's. You see it? They have it. They weren't going to play around with this. They have it there, it's there. It's a fascinating dispute concerning, is a Christian permitted to be a Christian? A Jew who espouses Christianity is an Obed Avodah Zarah, correct? They believe in the divinity of a human being. But they also believe in the divinity of God. And it's this Holy Ghost that you talk about. I don't know where he fits in. The Trinity. But anyway, they do believe in God. So what is that called in halakhic terms? When someone believes in God and also believes in a different divinity. That's called, anybody know? Called shituf. A partner, the shutof. If someone is mishate, if someone incorporates together a belief in an additional deity over and above belief in God in heaven, that's called shituf. What is the status of shituf? If a Jew believes in shituf, it is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. You can't believe in two gods. Believe in one God and another, that's Avodah Zarah. But the question is, what if a goy believes in shituf? Goyim are also prohibited to believe in Avodah Zarah because it's one of the seven mitzvos. Seven Noahide laws. One of them is not to bow down to an Avodah Zarah, to an idol. But it's possible that with respect to non-Jews, if a non-Jew believes in God and some other power which he considers divine, perhaps it's not a violation of Avodah Zarah concerning his non-Jewish code of law. Big dispute. The Ramah seems to say, believe it or not, that it's not considered Avodah Zarah. From the Goy's perspective, a good, devout Christian, it's wonderful. Wonderful. Most other authorities say the Ramah is completely wrong, based on a misreading of a Tosfos in the Torah, in Sanhedrin. Not true, Tosfos never said it, didn't mean it. Of course, if a guy believes in Christianity, then he isn't considered an Obed Avodah Zarah. But it's a matter of dispute. And therefore, the fact that the Goyims in Europe believe in Avodah Zarah, or for the 1,000 years that Jews inhabited that continent, you know, there were different attitudes towards them. Some Rabbanim were very insistent that the Goyim should bow down to their Christianity. If they didn't, they were suspects of being heretics, not believing in anything. The story is told of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Barditchev. He'd go in with his taxi driver, his Balagola, the Goyish of Balagola. That the Goyish of Balagola would not cross himself. When they passed in front of the church, he'd get out right away. Doesn't trust him. Not a devout Christian. Who knows what he's going to do? The sugar? He'll drive like a crazy man. That's how the story goes. Story makes more sense according to the Ramah. That the Goyim is not even culpable for what he's doing. This is relevant for a number of reasons. One of them is how to look at Goyim. You look at all Goyim as being, you know, sinners from their perspective. I mean, Goyim Christians who are not violating the other six mitzvahs, the other six restrictions imposed upon them. Or we view them as being fine people, from our perspective again. More practically, our attitude issue is How are we to relate to their religious observance? Are we permitted to encourage it, or are we required to refrain from doing anything which may encourage it? You see, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Avodah Zarah that there exists a prohibition called Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mirshol. Do not put a stumbling block on the path of a blind person. It's applied even to a non-Jewish person, and it applies primarily, something exclusively, not to a literal stumbling block, but to a spiritual one. For example, we're taught in the Gemara that I may not sell trade for meat to someone who's interested in eating it, a Jewish person who's interested in eating it. Nor may I provide wine to a Nazir who wants to drink it. But also the Gemara says, I should not assist a non-Jew to worship his Avodah Zarah. Because even though he's not Jewish, it's still a violation on my part of the Fe'ibel of Sitei Mirshol. Nor may I give what we call Eber Min Achai. So that is one of the big seven. Eber Min Achai, you can't chop off a limb of an animal and then eat it. So if I have a limb which is chopped off, I may not provide it to the non-Jew if he couldn't have gotten it otherwise. That's the most famous expression, very important expression. Betray every denaro. We're on two sides of the river, John and myself. He says, hey, Chaim, throw me that side of beef. But he can't get it without me. If I throw it over the river, I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver. If I'm on the same side of the river as he is, he says, Chaim, you know, too lazy, give me that side of beef. Then there's no Lifnei Iver, because if not for me, he could have gotten it himself. He's trying to save a few steps. Come to other considerations a bit later. But it'll be certainly relevant how we look at the Goyim's observance of Christian holidays and practices. How much must we be concerned with Lifnei Iver? If it's in fact for him a prohibition, we have to be very concerned. If for him it's something which is permissible, then we don't have to be so concerned. Within the Hilchos Avodah Zarah comes an unbelievable dinim, which relates to Avodah Zarah, although somewhat indirectly. For example, Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Kuf Mem Aleph, Sif Dalit, that a person may not create a three-dimensional image of a human being. You may have heard somewhere that if you get a sculpture, a picture of a human being, you're required to make some kind of blemish in it. Some cut off the ear, the nose, something to make it not make it imperfect. Because if it's the way it is, it may be a violation of owning such a figure. Could be a problem in terms of sculpture, even in terms of trophies. You win a basketball tournament, you got a trophy. It has this, you know, this athlete there, and it's a problem. What are you doing with it?
Even of like a Jewish thing?
I don't care if he's Jewish. Can we have a whatever
happened?
I don't care if it's Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't care if it's something else. Maybe it's some kind of Jewish athlete there. I don't care who it is. It's still prohibited. Doesn't look real? It was just impressionistic art. You and I call it nothing. Not a real, I mean, it depends how much different than a real person looks. It's completely unrecognizable. It's not a problem. Yeah.
Whiteout?
Paint? I guess so. It's hard to break off the ear or the nose, yes? There is an exception to the rule, which is what's called a davar mevuzeh, or bizayon, or something which is not honorable at all. Some suggest that baby dolls are in that category. These baby, little Barbie dolls, baby dolls, I don't know, these dolls that cost $50, a little shtus, but it's a doll, if you like to play with it. And it's a human figure, right, with an eye, two eyes, and a nose, and two ears, and a mouth. It's a regular, human figure. So, some say a doll is called mevuzeh. It's obviously not considered something of prestige, as a trophy or otherwise a sculptured item would be. It's a plaything. Being a plaything, there are many authorities who are lenient to say it's what we call insignificant. It's hard to say exactly where the line should be drawn. It's significant and insignificant. Don't know exactly. But you should know there's a category of mevuzeh that exists. I repeat what I said before, that only three-dimensional figures are a problem concerning a human image. According to the Shulchan Aruch, a two-dimensional human image is no problem whatsoever. Photograph, drawing, no problem. I should tell you, however, and I have to be honest, that the Vilna Gaon right here quotes the opinion of the Ran and apparently the Ramban, who disagree. That even a two-dimensional human figure is prohibited. The Ran, the Ramban, the Vilna Gaon seems to agree with them. You may have seen or heard about Hasidim, especially Hasidic Rebbes, who refuse to allow themselves to be photographed. You ever see it? Cover their... Yeah? This is the reason. They are worried about the opinion of the Gra, Ramban, and the Ran, which states that even two-dimensional human figures are prohibited. Now, even the lenient view, which maintains that two-dimensional human figures are permitted, concedes that two-dimensional figures, even two, and certainly three-dimensional figures, of celestial bodies are prohibited. Such as the sun, best example, the moon, stars. This is kind of another major problem. How do you own a picture, a two-dimensional picture of the sun and the moon and the stars? I mean, you went to, Masada, you saw a beautiful sunrise, the sunset, you took a picture, beautiful, the whole sun, and now the problem, can you keep it? Because it's a picture of the sun. If you get it when the sun's only half up, then it's alright. It's complete sun is a problem. And what happens when you know someone who is in pre-1A or nursery school, they come out with a picture of on their construction paper, or a big yellow ball on top of black things sticking out from the side, it's all in the sun. Maybe that's what's called mevuzeh again. That's just a kinderspiel. What about your encyclopedia at home, which has a picture of the sun somewhere? How far did you take this? Also be Zion, maybe. Again, I don't know how far it goes, but you should be aware of the fact that it's a problem. These are human figures that we, generally speaking, except for certain few very scrupulous individuals, we adopt a lenient view concerning two-dimensional human photos. Or pictures, drawings. Although the Ramban, Ran, and Gra are strict.
Who says about the sun? Everyone?
The sun, it's a dinner show on earth, no one argues.
And what did you say about what we're leaning on?
What do I?
You said we're leaning on.
Human two-dimensional pictures.
Not at all.
Unless it's something called mevuzeh, something which no one ever think of bound out to. Some say that no one bows down to them at all now, so maybe there's some grounds to be lenient. I don't even think it's true. I think it is. Maybe you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Is there anyone in the world who bows down to the sun anymore these days? Could be. Go down to Asia, Africa, who knows? Could be. Could be. Some say that a human figure is only prohibited the entire body, the head and the body itself. Just a figure of the head itself, the face itself, is not a problem. Some disagree. There are those who don't want to have a, carry a penny or any other coin. Our coins have, you know, have a picture of a human being. And it's, well, dollar bill is two-dimensional. A coin is a little bit, not really, it is a little bit three-dimensional. Keep the change. Also, this very same siman, before we go further, fascinating story. This is a tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Yavin, in Amsterdam. A certain Rabbi Elazar was accepted as the Rav. Somebody came and made a coin, special, you know, a cage of coin with a picture of the rabbi in it. Till here. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden said it's prohibited. You can't make it and you can't own it. And although he said before that a head without a body, maybe it's permissible. That only means if it's a sort of a blank head, but if the head is clearly delineated with the various limbs of the nose, ears, eyes, he claims it's prohibited. So some say, matveos, coin is okay, because it's mevuzeh. So then they make the following distinction. I think the person said, if it's a coin you put in your pocket, you pay for a newspaper, that's mevuzeh. But if there's a special, you know, they have these special coins that they, for, you know, for special occasions, you don't pay, you don't buy pizza with it, you don't put it to the tribe or bridge. It's something which is used just for the special occasion. It's a very honorable piece. You keep it in the museum or in your vault, then or hang up on the wall, that's prohibited. Interestingly, in this very same siman, it's quoted that you're not permitted to replicate a particular form that existed in the Beis Hamikdash, the Heichal itself, or the Shulchan, or the Menorah, but only a Menorah of seven branches, if you will. Now it wasn't the Beis Hamikdash. Five or six, or probably if it's eight also, it's alright. Unfortunately, some shuls, believe it or not, have seven armed menorahs. Shouldn't be. Some go as far as to say that's why we have 8 days of Hanukkah. It should be a candelabra with seven famous questions, like seven, is there a miracle? Some part of it is wild. You mentioned the seven, you mentioned Hanukkah. That's Simon Kuf Mem Aleph. What happens if the church has a bathhouse? In the old days there were no private baths, they only had public baths. And the bath was part of the church. before they, you know, they had, you ever see some of these old bathhouses, they had these little idols in the bathhouse. So the Shulchan Aruch said it's mutter to bathe there. If there's an idol in the bathhouse. But this itself is a bizoyer. It's ridiculous by the sewage, it says. Everyone urinates in front of it, it says. So it's not considered to be something which is considered respectable. I remember a child I had, someone moved into a house, and in the back of the house they found these idols, I would say it. Decorative purpose. They have, you know, you ever see a Christian house, a Catholic house especially? They have all these. What are you doing with it? Buy a house from a Christian. Noble take all of his things with him. But he doesn't. It's too hard to move. Not enough to imagine that you go in the backyard, your kids out there, and then lo and behold, Holy Mary is overlooking the situation. Well, it's only advisable to get rid of it. When I was in high school, so the school I went to was called RJJ. She would have been a younger girl. It was a little high school in Lower East Side. They didn't have any gym. They had to play basketball games. The team had to rent out space. They rented out space for a place called Powell Memorial High School. Not far from here. And there were actually courses on top of the baskets. It was a Catholic school. The foul shot. There he is. I remember a guy on the Knicks. I'm talking now the Knicks, not the Knicks of 30-something years, 35 years ago. And then he would take a foul shot and cross himself. I think they made those mistakes today in the Catholic colleges. I took it very seriously. I don't think this foul shooting percentage is any better than anybody else's, but I'm trying to make these kind of things. More than that, Shulchan Aruch said you're not permitted to listen to the music of idols. You're not supposed to look at the beauty of idols. Yeah, if you enjoy it. The big problem concerning some of the music that we hear these days, the carols and the masses, they really should not be listened to. If the radio station puts on a mass or a carol, just turn the station. You're in a store and all of a sudden it goes, oh, what are you going to do? Run out. So, you can't, all right. But if you're not, just have intention not to enjoy it. Some authorities go as far as saying that most classical music is prohibited. So it was commissioned by the church. I believe that many of the famous classical composers who paid their salary to the church. Yes?
I don't see what the problem is anymore, because I don't think there exists a
Yitzhak
Hara for
a Mother Zara now. It's a very good question. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there was a very strong Yitzhak Hara for Mother Zara. It was eliminated by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who lived at the beginning of the Second Temple, by Hashem. That's correct. They eliminated it. Nonetheless, despite that fact, the prohibitions of Avodah Zarah remain in full force. You can't bow down to an idol now because the Yetzer Hara is eliminated.
I know, but they say, like, with the music, it can run out. It's not going to do anything to us to hear music like that.
Well, it doesn't have to do anything to you. It may be an independent prohibition. Moreover, I have to tell you, unfortunately, I don't want to contradict you, but they may not be a Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah these days. If you know how many Jews say either intermarry, which is tantamount to accepting another religion, or even, especially part of the marriage, have Christian symbols in their homes. There was an article last year about how many Jews have trees. They have tree day, right? Rockefeller sent the tree. I wonder how many Jews came to the ceremony, Shem Yerachim, and Rockefeller sent to see the beauty of the tree, or they light it up, and they have some ISIS. You know, people are attracted to light. That's why they do it. Light. And when my kids were little babies, so in the front lobby of the building, there was a non-Jewish soup, but he put a tree there. even though the building was owned by a Jewish person, I guess he felt he couldn't, he didn't want to start up with the super. So he's going, he passed by, he's going to the house for a month of December, and there is the tree with the lights, and kids love lights, right? Lights, and they flash on it off. Oh, wow. Beautiful. So what do you tell a kid like that? How would you say something like this? Yuck. Ah, but what's yuch? I would say, yeah, this tree symbolized a religion in whose name many Jews were killed. Leave it at that. I don't want to get into theology with my 5-year-old. But he understands that he's Jewish. He understands that Jews were killed by the religion that this tree symbolizes. And that's enough of a reason not to be attracted to this tree. You pass by a church. What do? You look at the beautiful architecture, the steeple, the bells, the stained glass. Chas v'sholem. Should have a very disparaging view. What do you do about it? Marginal were trained from their early youth. You recite a pasuk and you pass by a church. The pasuk goes as follows. My kids don't know my heart. Before Shema Yisrael, I didn't lose my heart. The pasuk says, Shaket shaktenu v'sayek v'savenu kicherevu. Pasuk and Parshas Ekev. You should despise it. You should consider it abominable.
Can you repeat it?
Shaket the shaktenu v'sayek v'savenu kicherevu. It's only 7 words. And this is the minig in certain places in Europe was that after saying those 7 words, what you would do is you would what? That's correct. Spit. I try to convince my children that's not a good idea in our society because some of them see it and get upset about it. They don't listen to me on that. It's good anyway, I think. I don't know. You know, we live in an age of pluralism and of tolerance and you know, we are Jews, they are Christians, and you know, we don't want to be too enamored of the religion of the majority of the United States of America's population. You have a hard enough time fighting against them in other areas. I just saw, it was this week, I got it yesterday in the mail, U.S. News, is one of the largest news magazines in terms of circulation. Full page ad with a Hanukkah motif. So my first reaction must be the Babbage. So who's taking that full page ad? You know what it was? Jews for Jay.
It's the Times today.
Today's Times, same airport. Jews for Jay. Chevy Shmirenu. If they're putting in full page ads, it costs thousands of dollars. You better believe that they're getting results. Shem Yirachem. We have to fight against it. It's very hard. It's frightening. I feel strongly that you should not have any hanah from any Christian music as such. I don't believe you have to go as far as to prohibit all classical music, even though it was paid for by the classic church. Because I'm not mechuyav to know if, I don't know, Mozart, Beethoven, they have these beautiful, beautiful concertos and all. No reference at all to anything of any, no words, nothing. It's just a piece of music. I don't care they were paid for by the Catholic Church. Who cares? I don't think that's a problem. On the other hand, Beethoven's 9th is a potential problem. If you know a little bit about the second movement, I think it is, which is Ode to Joy or something like that. There are words in it. It's in German. You don't understand it, Baruch Hashem. So, but it has something to do with brotherhood and this and that. Or some of Bach's. Or how about Handel's Messiah. He doesn't mean Amashiach. He doesn't mean Lubavitcher Rebbe. He means somebody else. I don't think you have anything to do with that. Or it's ilk. Nor should a person go into a church under any circumstances. Ravadja is a beautiful tshuva where he decries the fact that some tourists go into all the churches in Israel. Oh, how can I be banned in Israel? Terrible. equally bad in this country or in Europe. Rav Soloveitchik, the father of the Rav, said when Kennedy was shot, they broadcast the funeral mass, which was one of the biggest Catholic churches in Washington, live. And I don't know how many tens of millions of Americans watched them, you know. Everyone watched them. So the story there of Soloveitchik came in the next day, the Shir, said someone told them people watched this mass. Whoever watched the funeral mass was guilty of Avodah Zarah. He made Avodah Zarah proper, man. We call it an expression called Abizrayu with Avodah Zarah. Abizrayu is a very important term. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Zayin, Reish, Yud, Yud, Hey, Vov. It's used in modern Hebrew. Abizrim. To buy a car, and all the Abizrim. That means, you know, the options or the ancillary things, you know, you buy a... Computer, accessory, that's the right word. Accessories. So accessories to Avodah Zarah, the incidental. You view that as a very big offense, great offense. Americans don't see it that way. We just don't see it. We just don't. The Rav was actually European. He knew what the church did to us. He said, you know, we're too open in this country. You know, we American born Jews, I'm including myself. You know, what's so bad about the Catholic Church? They're more moral than the average person in the street. We don't realize that they stand for a lot of things, blood libels, and, you know, anti-Jewish literature, propaganda, big problem. Yes, I'm sorry. Very good question. Islam, is the Rambam, is not Avodah Zarah, because they don't believe in the divinity of Muhammad. They believe that Muhammad was a prophet. Islam is not Avodah Zarah. It's not mean you should convert to Islam. Let me get this straight here. Because the average Arab who's a devout Muslim is not an Avodah Zarah. This is relevant for certain areas of halakha. Some say going into a mosque is not as bad as going into a church, but I don't think it's permissible to go in unless it's a compelling cause. We can draw the threshold lower than it would be drawn for a church. It's not about a Zara prop. Yes.
Why aren't we including? I don't know if it's an extension or just including other images that have served as deities, like of animals and things like that. I mean, like in India, didn't they worship cows?
Worship that cow, then that cow they worship is prohibited.
So an image of their deity would not be prohibited?
Unless they bow down to that image as well. Let's say in the Catholic Church, they bow down to the altar with the cross, with whatever they have up there. That is prohibited. You know, even though the average Catholic, the educated one, knows that they don't ascribe divine power to that cross or to that altar. Unless they ascribe divine power to the person that this cross represents. You know, I don't know what the cross represents. Everyone knows that there was someone on the cross. A Jewish boy got in trouble. Can you mention the names of other religions? Also, Laskira Mishma, Shavanarov, you shouldn't even mention the name of an Avodah Zarah. Unless it's necessary. Some say if it's necessary, it's mutter, some say if it's necessary, it's also even a big dispute. Two different versions, two different texts. You may mention the names of their holidays, which are named after people. You should mention it in a language of importance. That's a question. All the various saints. You mentioned Saint X, Saint Y, Saint Z. I remember when I was learning the yeshiva, to the young man who would say, I'm going to the grocery store on Nicholas Avenue. People say Nicholas, you wouldn't say Nicholas Avenue. But that's the token. They say, I'm going to take a plane tonight to Lewis. Or, for that matter, Francisco. That's the Saint, right? Or Diego. That's why they call the Satma. They didn't call it St. Mary. They sort of changed it to Satma to make it like a little joke out of it. He was always changing the shit. Satma. Satma St. Mary, yes, sir. Correct? So if you say the word Jesus, they don't say it in a sense of importance. It would be okay. It's a first name, Yeshu. Yeshu on Oak Street. He made it into the Gemara. The sense just took it out, that's all. The Sefer Sanhedrin, there's a whole piece in the Gemara which is cut out by the censor. The Rambam mentioned the name Yeshua on Oak Street. Jesus of Nazareth. His second name, C-H-R-I-S-T, that's a little bit more problematic. Because that, I believe, means Messiah. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert in the... People ask me questions about these challenges. You know, I have enough problems with my own religion. I don't know too much about the others. But I think it means Messiah, and that includes Chashivas. Messiah is certainly an honorific title. I'm not in a rush for you to use that word. About the first, other first Christians do that with ease. Christians doesn't bother me. But that particular individual, I prefer to call him by his first name. Here on a first name basis. Jesus. On a first name basis. Yeah.
What is golf or play?
Play?
And in the play, those words are mentioned. And maybe even paraphernalia that would be associated with
the play. It's a play put out by a student at Yeshiva University?
Perhaps.
Uptown and down, I don't know where. Well, maybe the Dramatic Society needs a rabbinical advisor.
We need one.
Okay. Down here, I suggest to speak to Rabbi Katterfogel or Rabbi Hochberg.
There's nothing in there about
I don't know about it. Yeah.
I thought you said that the Shulchan said that we shouldn't mention the names of the different religions. So why would we say that we can say Christianity?
Because it says you're not supposed to mention the name of the God. Of the God. Okay? You do it in a manner of which is not important, like the name of people. God, the Shulchan Aruch says. If you do it in an unimportant way, that's Hashivos. So then it's okay. That's why I think it's an unimportant way it'll be alright. Yes, I'm sorry.
Let's say yoga.
Yoga?
Yoga? is that whatever? Yeah, that was. Is that a problem if you know that the teacher meditates while she's with it? Like, that she's like... You know,
I'm always meditating, but not about what she's meditating.
No, I know. She, like, is that a problem?
If she depends what she meditates about. If she meditates about Buddha, I have a serious problem. Buddha and Avodah Zarah.
But you don't know.
She doesn't say anything
about Buddha, then I think you're okay. She can be thinking about Buddha, you're thinking about Kaddish Baruch.
And you can do all the
poses
that you do.
Poses? No.
Poses themselves are not Avodah Zarah-esque. Then I think it's okay. I'm not an expert in that either.
Because it's like actual kneeling, prostrating.
Kneeling? You don't.
Like totally.
My mother told me you don't kneel anywhere.
Right.
That's it. You don't kneel. Kneeling is considered some, it reminds us of what the Christians do. So we're never supposed to go on two knees. Only on one knee. That's what we were taught as children. Always down only on one knee. What about non-Jewish holidays? I get this question, one of the most common questions. Parties, your holiday parties, things of this nature. So, you're not supposed to really get involved in these things. If you can avoid it at all, it's preferable. Now they call them holiday parties. generic. Hanukkah, etc. But the etc. Blows away the Hanukkah. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. But I'm giving gifts. I'm sorry. I'm talking about business needs. So first you can try to avoid the business need, to avoid it. It's not at all. I got a shot of this recently. I was working at a, you know, I had a job in a firm. It was a holiday party. And the boss told the person underneath that boss, I wanted to come to the party.
You go for business needs?
Yes, you gotta tell the person, if you have to go, show your face, smile, and get out as fast as you can. Don't eat and don't drink. That's all. Not have a dessert, proper. Show your face for a second, I think it's alright if you have to, for business purposes. Well, not for business purposes, I don't think you should go at all. Socially, you shouldn't go. You have to give a gift for the super, the mailman, whatever it is. The discussion, should you really do it? So, there are more rights, although the Shulchan Aruch says it really shouldn't be done, but nowadays, because they even, you think the Goyim really believe in their Avodah Zarah, nah, they're not so devout to Goyim, they don't really believe in it anymore. So, you should try to send it before the holiday or after the holiday. So make it an end of the year bonus. Give it to him to fire a brimstone tshuva, responsa. The secular dates are like Avodah Zarah, it's terrible, don't you dare use it. Always use the Jewish dates, and send it out to all the people. Give it to the secretary to type. On top she puts the secular date. Those, there happen to be names.
December is 12th.
Yeah, I call December. It's called 12th. It's you have no choice. Without a computer, you have no choice. You know, they give you, they will waste the deception. Nope. What can you do? But if you have a choice, I try to write the, DEC. Right? That's a three-letter shortcut for the month. I try to do that. Because it's not the right system. Odd numbers are to be counted from Nisan on. You know, there are many people who are furious and livid against using the secular year. There's a number of years, 1995. What do you mean that? Wait a minute. 1995 since when? Since what? Because DEC are not counting from a month other than Nissan, which is the name is. So what does 90? So I tried to write down, and I have to write a secular day, 95. No, 1995, write down, 95. Doesn't always work, so you have to write it the whole thing in. Watch that, could you recognize some other, that friend of ours, the Jewish boy who got in trouble. Why should we recognize him as the way we count them? There were those rabbanim who are livid, and on Jewish tombstones, they put the secular date of the date of passing, of the person died. They're screaming and yelling. I mean, what do you think? I'm just saying, what can you do? That's how we live, that's how we die, that's how society is and goes. I had a shout out this morning in shul. This morning, can someone park a car in a church parking lot?
Why?
Double question. Do you do it for free? Do you do it for rent? For free, you're having benefit from the church. For rent, you're benefiting the church by giving them money. Who was the biggest landlord in Manhattan? Do you know? Wrong.
Church.
The Catholic Church is the biggest landlord in.
Yeah, they own a lot next door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Among others. This lot next door is Butler Bashishim and they're holding. It's nothing. They own some of the biggest because they're able to do it tax free. Shtick. So are you allowed to rent an office building? It's you can't tell it's Christian. It's just a regular office building. We know it's all by the church. They're all serious questions and I'm not able to answer all of them. There's so many involved details, and it's not so simple. Ramon writes concerning selling things to a goy. For the purposes of his religion, Ramorites, that's only prohibited if he could not have procured it otherwise. If he could have gotten it somewhere else, it's permissible. Some disagree, but the custom is to be lenient. Why? As I said to you before, there's no violation of Lifnei Iver. Lo Sitei Michshol. Called Chad. Ivra Denara, one side of the river. He could have gotten it without you. There's a discussion here in the Shach and the Dover Vava, a whole discussion. Wait a minute. What about a violation of what we call Misayeya La'Ovre Aveira? Helping out someone to do a sin. Even though there's no formal violation of the Taiva, because the sin could have been committed anyway. And still you are aiding and abetting a sin to be done. So the post can say that it does not apply to a non-Jew. And it may not even apply to a Jew. Jew who converted to Christianity. You're not required to keep him away from violating Yisur. He left the fold. So writes the Shach. And the Dovah of Meravoba decides that that's ridiculous. He evokes a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. Yisrael afalpi shechata. Yisrael. That's the Dovah of Meravoba, quotes that Gemara. It's written by the Noda of Yehuda, the son of the Shechadar. It's in the Kuf Nunala from Shema. It thinks that the Shach is wrong. Rather, he says, since he's sinning on purpose, we're not required to stop him. If he's sinning accidentally, we would. That's his distinction.
Is that Jew converted to Christianity or a
Christian? Jew? A Jew converted to Christianity. You know, part of our relationship to a goyim is we are not permitted to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Lo Sechane. We'll give them chanoya b'karka. Serious problem. You can't sell a house, field, to a goyim in Eretz Yisrael. You may be aware of the fact that about 100 years ago, approximately, they had big problems with Shemitah. They started this, what they call the Hetter Mechira. They would sell the land to a goy in order to somehow minimize the requirements for Shemitah observance. So there were great giants at that time, the Nitziv, for example, who said by selling the land to the goy, instead of making things easier with respect to Shemitah, we're going from the frying pan to the fire. Or as he put it, someone's running away from a bear and bumps into a lion. He said that Shemitah nowadays is most likely even the Rabbana. So if you didn't sell it, your own, it worsens the rabbinical prohibition. Selling the land to an Arab is a Torah prohibition. Lo sechane, you can't give a chanoi of a character. What's going on over here? So the chief rabbinate, of course, Rabbi Yitzchak Chalchanan, who was the architect of the, one of the architects of the original head, says, no, it's only a temporary sale, only for 2 years they sell it. Only for 2 years. So it's not considered a violation of Lo Sechane. Others say it's ridiculous. It's wrong completely. Some say it's for the ultimate benefit of the Jewish settlements. They can work on Shemitah a little bit. They can have gains of the prophets a little bit. There was no Lo Sechane. Others disagree. Shouldn't even speak so nicely about goyim. Was he telling them, "Hey, oh, this goy is wonderful. This goy is fantastic. It's something to be gained by for you or for another Jew." Then, of course, it's permissible. Or if you want to thank Hashem, this is a very, very beautiful something that the goyim made. You thank Hashem for giving the wisdom to the goyim that should be able to make such beautiful airplanes, the beautiful, I don't know, museum pieces, whatever it is. Play basketball so well. So, yeah. That's what we're talking about. This haper v'shvachot. That means, not the compliment, not this to his face. It's just, you know, not to his face. To his face, you permit it to compliment because it's for a purpose. Say, you have, let's say, a non-Jewish co-worker. Say, oh, you look very good today. That's a very nice dress, a very nice something. You need that in order to establish a normal, you know, relationship between co-workers. But I tip a taxi cab driver, even though I'm not supposed to give a matana to a matnas chinam to a guy, but it's considered normal etiquette. You tip the taxi cab driver 15%. It says in all the books. Under normal circumstances. Sorry?
No, I understand that we're allowed to do this, but why would it be a problem? Why would we think it may be problematic?
It says in the Torah, the Gemara Shemana, Lo Sita Lehem Chen, Lo Sechane, and Lo Teach us many halachas. Don't give them land. That's one issue, like peace process. That's like a peace process. Right? You give them the land, Lo Sechane. You're giving the land to the Arabs. Well, it seems to be much worse than Lo Sechane. On the other hand, if the government would feel that it's pikuach nefesh, they have to do it. The losachanim is knocked out by pikuach nefesh. If in fact it's going to save lives, so we disregard losachanim. If they give losachanim, you don't give them land, don't give them chayim, don't compliment them like this gratuitously, and it also teaches you don't give them presents, matnasina. Whatever is considered etiquette, whatever you may have benefited from in the future because of your ongoing relationship with this non-Jew, it's of course permissible. Beyond that is a question. Yes? That's another good question. The Sukhana applied to non-idol worshippers. So that one of the reasons that they were permitted to sell the land to an Arab was the Arab was not idolatrous. Yeah, but no, most people say it's wrong. Most possible say it applies to all goyim. The proof is the very next word in the Torah is v'lo sishatein bam. Don't marry them. Well, marry them certainly applies to all non-Jews. So, not so simple. Here's an example of a little known din. People don't realize this. If a guy makes a wedding, I'm a mazel. Hopefully the guy is marrying his daughter to a guy, not to a Jew. Okay? So, there's a guy marries Goya. John marries Mary. Fine, wonderful. And you get invited. Why? Because you know either John's parents or Mary's parents, they're business associates of yours, they invite you to come. Either you're not going to eat it all, or they'll give you Lou G. Siegel's. No problem. You're not permitted to go. You're not permitted to eat. The Pasuk in Chumash. The Karolacha Miatalta Mizipcho. We're afraid that the Koyan is going to eat from his meal. The Gemara interprets are referring to a ready meal. Well, I guess maybe to show your face might be good, but not to the mass. If it's a catered meal, you want to go and show your face, could be in Tzmuta, because it says, the Karolach of Yachalta is it, the Shulchan Aruch, so you're not allowed to eat there. If you don't eat, the impression is conveyed that maybe you can just walk in for a second. And there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch which reflect the fact that at least in those days, non-Jews were suspect for murder. You didn't want to be involved in a blind alley with a non-Jewish individual. I fear he'll kill you. There are all kinds of halachas. It shouldn't be a barber, split your throat for a second, he should take a shave with a razor. So nowadays, it's supposed to assume that because of this governmental thing. The governmental jurisdiction of the decency of the people, whichever it is, or combination thereof, that this does not apply. Okay. We mentioned before that Avodah Zarah are not permitted to have any benefit from. One example is medicine to the Avodah Zarah. Says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a potential problem. Maybe you're not permitted to heal yourself with the guards of Avodah Zarah that he offers. You only sit on the herbs, which are proven and tested in the Avodah Zarah experiment. Yeah, please take some and heal yourself. That's probably not allowed because it's Avodah Zarah. What if they have herbs, just not, how should I say, Avodah Zarah big herbs? Just regular herbs that happen to be in the church, because in those days the doctors were often church-related, before Einstein. So the doctors were Catholics. May you use those drugs. Some say yes, some say no. What does it depend upon? Called Ab Israel. It's an accessory, if you will. Incidental to this discussion, it says that a man should not look in the mirror when he's taking a haircut. But if it's a non-Jewish barber, he better use a mirror to protect himself. You have an idea what's going on over here? Okay, Kuf Nun Zayin is a very important siman. Hopefully no one ever has to deal with it. The siman known as Yehoreg V'Al Yava. We have learned about this. It's what we call the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zorah. Either Arias and Shnich HaZomim, Yehoreg V'Al Yava. You should rather give up your life instead of violating that. The other Averis. No! Better to violate them than to die. Yava Vayar. However, if it's in public, for the 10 Jews, then maybe not. You have to give up your life, even if then not about a Zohar, either Rashi or something. If the guy is intent upon destroying your religion, that's his intention. He doesn't care if you eat the chazan, don't he wants to break the religion. That's also going to be a hard vayav. Better be killed than to violate. More than that, even the shoelace, Zehari Valyava. The Jews wear black shoelaces, they have to wear red shoelaces. That's all killing is, you have to be killed. What's the big deal? What did you do wrong? No, you cannot go alone. Again, that's only if their intention is to destroy the religion, to wipe it out. Even though we call the Ab Israel, the Ramah says it's also Yehoreg Vayava. The famous Rabbeinu Yonah, the story of coming up next week's parasha, not this week, next week, Tamar is confronted by Yehuda, and she doesn't want to embarrass him. She throws herself, allows him to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Upon which the Gemara comments, Mutkav l'odam sheyachol es atmo l'tov kipshon esh, v'al yavut. Don't embarrass a friend in public. What's going on over here? Ask Rabbeinu Yonah. It's not allowed. Only three exceptions. What are they? Avodah Zorah, Gila, Rice, and Shvichas Dom. This is none of them. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it is one of them. It's Abiz Raya of Shvichas Dalit. Shvichas Dalit is murder. If someone's embarrassed or his blood drains from his face, consider as if he murdered his face. Took away all the blood. Most of it. For a short period of time. But still, it's an accessory to it. A very important discussion, and no one should ever know from it. The Poskim say that this Nevi Harag Vayava only applies actively. If they do something, and if you don't do this, we'll kill you, you're not going to do it. So you have to be killed. But if someone is passive, then it doesn't apply. I'm also speaking about a woman who's attacked, a married woman who's being attacked by someone. She's passive, there's no Nevi Harag Vayava, Rambam says. In this context, we learn a very fascinating and important thing. The Goyim asked the Jews, listen, give us one of your number, and we'll kill him. Give us one of you, give it, 100 Jews in town, give us one and we'll kill him. If not, we'll kill all of you. What do you say? Can't give him over. What did they say? Give us this one. Give us X, give us X. They tell you which one they want. The dispute. Some say you can give over that one. Look, they're all going to die anyway. And others say, no, only if he's like Sheva ben Bichri, which is the case in the Tanakh. Tough stuff. I just applaud in real life. A person may not say he's a goy, even if it means saving his life. World War II, Shiloh. Not to kill every Jew, but a person explicitly, I am a Christian. The Rav Shulchanov says, no. You can fool them. You can fool them. If someone says, are you Jewish? You say, are you kidding? You can change your clothes in case it doesn't look like a non-Jew. Can a person run to a church to save his life? Shulchan Aruch says, yes. The Ramah says that some say if it's a Shasak Zera, it's us. In other words, how should I say it? It's a regular case over here. Not that they're going to be healed by the church. It just needs a place to run. Very complex halakh over here. It should never happen, but this is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. And here we come to the famous Norida Melo Malin. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Nun Ches tells us that Goyim Lo Morida Melo Malin, we shouldn't try to destroy them, nor should we try to save them. Just leave it alone. Even that you can't do nowadays in most cases. But in those days, just stay out of trouble. But those who are deny the Torah and the Nevuah, so in the olden days, they would either kill them, or they would leave them in the bottom of a pit, things of this nature. The Chazon Ish writes, this no longer applies. Doesn't apply anymore at all. What that means is, in the old days, the preponderant majority of the Jews were from, there's one guy who was a wise guy who was causing tzaras, so we have to try to stop him at all costs, including Morida Melo Malin. Today, when the majority of Jews are not from, it's ridiculous. It's strong arm tactics. It's the accomplish anything. Just look like which is intolerable for the Chil Hashem. New world. This is the Shulchan Aruch discussion of Avodah Zarah, and I want to read you some highlights in the Sefer of his last appearance of him today. Kol Bein Yisrael enough, which has some of these halachas as well. We quote many of them, as many as we quote, there's always more. They're coming around your building, collecting for the local church. Yeah, come on, they'll give you, chocolate. Kosher chocolate, all you. And give them a few dollars, go to the church. So, posting the Rishon is not allowed. Can't give it to them. Too bad. Can't make a donation to the church. Yes? You mean tzedakah? This means homeless. Good question. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see it later, Hilchos Tzedakah, I guess next term, that's another 100 semana from here. We're not going to get there in only 2 more weeks, correct? That's it? 2 more?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It says there that you're allowed to give tzedakah, maybe you shouldn't even give tzedakah to Aniyei Akum, to a non-Jewish poor, they darke shalom. So, that's okay. It's not given to a church, it's a private citizen. Here, look at this one now. Can you rent out space from a church? Quotes where Moshe says no. Not even for a play group, nothing. Nor should you rent out a home in a house which belongs to Avodah Zarah. Quotes it from different sources. The question, what about the real estate in Manhattan? It's pretty far a move, but on the other hand, you're giving them benefit. It's a good question. People are very lenient in this matter. It's just a business. They're not so simple. If you have a church, can you convert it to a shul? It's a very well-known shul, not far from my house. Which is a, what?
Actually, it's a church.
Yeah, that's the question. Is it permissible? Unfortunately, the other way around is all too common. Unfortunately. Shuls that became churches. But churches that become shuls doesn't happen too often. Big question whether it's allowed or not allowed. There's a lot of details. Another big problem I've got to talk about? Christian art. You want to take an art in the school?
Yeah.
It's a big problem. I don't think it's allowed. However, if they show you a picture in an art book of certain Christian art, they just, for the art form, this is this. I don't think it's recommended at all. I think it really shouldn't happen at this yeshiva. But there's maybe some ground. They want to show how art works. But if they take it to the museum, we actually see the original, that's a no-no. Yeah.
What does it do with report?
It's a requirement for
images. On what images?
Part of it is like on Virgin Mary.
Oh, you.
Well, I have to
put
paper on it.
Oy.
It's not just images that you, I mean, in the...
It's terrible. We shouldn't be learning about their religion. There's a whole discussion, you'll have to learn Greek mythology.
It's really, it's art form, supposedly.
understand what if it's Ilana in Greek mythology or not. So there's a general rule which I'm going to tell you about now. To learn about the other religions is permissible, it seems to me, only in one condition. What's called the Lilmod Lamed Lahoros. To learn in order to teach. For me to teach, we call it the deprogram or the combat. And the question how liberal you are in this definition. There are those who maintain that every Jewish person who's going to be working in an office with Christian co-workers, when he's confronted with their theological stuff, had better come prepared. And then you have to know what they say, why it's wrong, why, like a Dam al HaHoshiv kind of a story. It all depends on what's going on, and how it's hard for me to make a blanket dispensation. But if a particular school feels that's the case, and they have a right to go for it. But I don't see when it comes to art courses. How is learning an art course going to help you to fight against the missionaries? I don't see it. Even reading the New Testament, the Rambam says it's not allowed. When I went to Yeshiva College a couple of years ago, the professor assigned us to read the New Testament. I refused. So the Rambam doesn't allow it. All right, I don't read it. We spoke about the class anyway, but... Everything makes references, but it's only a reference. That's the big difference. Rav Moshe's classical tshuva. A school is not permitted to give vacation from December 25th to January 1st. Boom. Even if it's a good time for the parents when they're going on vacation and they're off from work, etc. One school near me, they have very makhlid. They always give school through December 25th, inclusive. And then they give off. You want to at least make a point. Okay. Compromise. Some person will maintain that this rule is a violation of the laws of Avodah Zarah. Why?
What violation?
This rule. Something in this room. Yeah, I'll give you a hint. To my right. Correct. Do you want the windows? That's correct. Crosses. But those who maintain that's a cross. You know these new windows they have now to save, to keep in the heat? You know, they have great, no more crosses. They have these big windows that, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing that big is one big piece of glass or whatever. New corners. I have this question today. Postage stamps have a cross on it sometimes. Can you use it? Like I said, it's better to avoid it, but if you have to, it's okay. What about a I gave blood today sign? Be nice to me. Red what you said?
Ooh. Red plus I.
That's right. No good. No good, it says. Because there's a cross. Again, the bit of dog. That's okay. Red. Star. That's all right.
Yeah, you get one of those Red Force watches?
No. Please get our cookies, get our watches now. Let us do a word. What do you say about this thing coming up? Is it Xmas or the other thing? Xmas. That's how I was brought up. We didn't want to say the name. Because the question is it a Hashivas? We said this subject before about the Hashivas. Is it a Hashivas or not? Could be in America, it's just a meaning. It's just a legal thing. I don't know. I try to avoid it because it's just repulsive to me. I'm not sure it's prohibited by the strict letter. Now, some suggest not only is it prohibited to go to a non-Jewish wedding, as I mentioned before, but even a general party. It's not right to spend time in a Goyish party. It's not right. That's the majority of Jews. Now, in your firm, it could be the majority of Jews. Could be. That'll be more lenient. Or a holiday party, so the majority is Jews. Must be a Hanukkah party. But if it has Christian symbols around, it's really a big problem. I think Happy New Year you're allowed to say.
Really?
I think so, because by the Goyim, it's a new secular year. They turn over the calendar. You can't help it. That's the tax gets computed that way, you like it or not. But yeah, that's it. It's a secular year. I hate New Year's Eve parties. It's an absolute prohibition, in my opinion. Because New Year's Eve parties is giving importance to this day, which is we think it's purely secular day. It's not true. It's the bris of Yoshka. Yoshka Pandrik was the call when I was growing up. Yeshu Pandria. Some call it, yeah, that's how we used to call it. Yoshka Pandrik. Is that a call? So it's a name of Shem Gennai. Pani came from a place called Pandria or something like that. I don't know what his nickname is. Yoshka Pandrik. That was his bris, was on January 1st. So we're not supposed to give it any importance. Look, they give you off from work, so say thank you. I don't want to go to work. Yeah? Non-Jewish graduate school? Permissible. Just stay away from the non-Jewish chevra. Cross is all over the place. Nope. Not so pleasant, but still does not render it prohibited. I'll tell you a secret. Some of these places with crosses are more... I'm going to say this in a nice way, I don't want to praise myself, are less objectionable in terms of how the student, the Goyish psychology says, do this, you know, you have your drive, don't try to contain them, let it all hang out. And they kind of say, don't stay in this marriage if you don't like it. If you have fantasies about some other boyfriend or girlfriend, let them realize them, you can't, not healthy to box it in. Saras adibris. Non-frum is also bad. I mean, again, you have to know there are exceptions. But I think it's very important to try to go to someone from a city help. And that's why it's important for people to go into the field. Where people should go into these fields to help out the brothers and sisters who need help. Oh, really? What we did not discuss yet, which is related to this a little bit, is chukas hagoyim. Things like the non-Jewish statutes. Thanksgiving, for example. We haven't gotten to that yet. Maybe, that's a later siman. That's a special halacha of chukas hagoyim. That's in the siman kuf ayin kes, another 20 siman away. Maybe we'll get to it before this term is out. We only have 2 more weeks. We'll do the best we can, okay? See you at the Shem next week.